Every day, Bill Frank...
We're going to be doing one thing and one thing only.
...talks with the best guests in America about business.
You mean business?
Monkey business?
Are you ready to get down to business?
All right! Everybody's here and that means we can get down to business.
Entertainment.
Entertainment.
The entertainment capital of the world.
What kind of entertainment?
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Sports.
Game on.
A grueling test of strength, speed, and stamina.
Wow, just like in the pros.
And the local community.
The rage in local radio.
Find out what's going on locally.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time now for the Bill Frank Radio Show on News Talk 1520 KVTA. Now, here's your host.
Bill Frank.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show on KVTA News Talk 1520. You can also hear me streaming on the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. The Bill Frank Show is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call me at 289-1520, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-289-1520. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. Each of my guests will share his or her perspective on one or the other of these topics. My next guest believes we need to rethink the modern organization in the social media era. Based on his research and work through the Datchess Group, he explores the social, cultural, and technological trends provoked by the social media explosion that are transforming businesses everywhere. We'll discuss his latest book titled Social Business by Design. Dion Hinchcliffe, is a business strategist and enterprise architect with an extensive track record of building enterprise-class solutions with clients in the Fortune 500, federal government, and internet startup community. He's also the senior vice president at Datchess Group. Dion is a regular keynote speaker on the topics of Web 2.0, SOA, and Enterprise 2.0. He's extensively published in leading industry periodicals and journals, and he's currently the editor-in-chief of Social Computing Journal. Joining us from the East Coast, hi, Dion. How are you today?
Hi, Bill. I'm doing very well.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. Loved your book because social media is certainly the hot topic in business today and how we can relate it to business. But I want to come back and just zero in, if we can, on your book, Social Business by Design. Because early in the book, you write that social media can be used for significant, sustainable, transformative value creation. How so?
Yeah, well, that's certainly a mouthful. And we used to see a few years ago businesses, you know, experimenting around the edges. But as we make the case in the book, and we explore in a number of case studies, that organizations are seeing strategic returns in terms of how they drive marketing. For example, Procter & Gamble was able to revitalize their brand with by advertising on the Super Bowl. And we see that organizations like SAP are revolutionizing customer service in terms of how they actually enlist their customers to support other customers. So the data increasingly shows that when you apply social media strategically to the way that you work, that you can see significant returns.
All right, Dion. Well, SAP, and you also use Microsoft as an example in the book. That makes some sense because those are both technology companies. Of course, they're going to want to use the technology, take advantage of the technology. P&G is a little bit more interesting because it's a consumer packaged goods, and they effectively use social media to help to build their brand. But the big question facing a lot of the small and mid-sized businesses here in Ventura County is, how does one measure the return on investment of social media? Because that's the crux of the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, exactly. And so certainly for small and medium-sized businesses, we see that social media can be an amplifier for almost all their existing efforts. One, social helps them stay connected with their business base. So, we see that, we discussed how L'Oreal enabled small hair salons, for example, to put appointment-setting capabilities right on their Facebook page because they had discovered that their customers of salons were increasingly using Facebook to contact them directly and try and make appointments. And small businesses weren't ready for that. They were used to phone calls, still how we did it in the 20th century. So they realized that they could provide these self-service features and help small companies improve the way that they engage with their customers. It's helped the small businesses actually cut staff and increase the amount of bookings that they're achieving.
All right. My guest is Dion Hinchcliffe. I love the way that you said back in the 20th century. It makes it sound so long ago and far away.
Exactly.
But, other things in your book, I don't want to sound skeptical, but I want to play the role of my listeners out there. You also write in the book that a social business harnesses fundamental tendencies in human behavior via emerging technology to improve strategic and tactical outcomes. Sounds very pedantic, but the reality, how is this different than the times before? I mean, weren't these predictions made for things like the telephone, the telegraph, and even the personal computer?
Well, and those were major revolutions at the time. Those seemed to be breakthrough advances, and they changed everything in terms of collapsing the distance between organizations, making us much more productive. You no longer had to send a piece of mail and wait for them to return it. You could just pick up the phone and call somebody, and so productivity and business cycles greatly increased. But what those really are point-to-point and one-way communications in many cases. In fact, most of the media revolution in the 20th century was about pushing information one way through a channel. Telephone was two-way, but it was point-to-point. You couldn't reach a lot of people, and this is how social is very different. So, for example, we see that one of the leading examples is social customer care, where organizations, SAP is one of them, but we see a number of companies who are using their customers to support other customers and increasing customer satisfaction and greatly reducing support costs.
All right, we'll talk about that, because social media in many ways is point-to-point like the telephone. I tweet you, you tweet me, back and forth. Now, it becomes part of the public record, that's true, but it's still a point-to-point communication. So differentiate and use SAP as an example. I think that is a good example of how they're using others to do the technical support for the parent company, SAP.
So the nice thing about Twitter, though, it can also be a broadcast medium, and then anyone else can then reply to it. So you see very, very typically, it's with celebrities, but also other important figures like the Dalai Lama, who can now engage with all the people that want to follow what he has to say. And that's the magic of social media, is that the people who want to find exactly what you're saying can locate you, typically via search or through recommendations from friends, and then they can hear everything that you're saying afterwards, and they can even talk to you. So In that regard, it is a much more of a network medium, a network format. But when we talked about SAP, their challenge was 10 years ago that their products were getting more and more complex, and they discovered that individually their sales people and their support people didn't have the expertise in the customer's industry or in the customer's specific problem. But there was, because their customers greatly outnumbered them, there was a good chance that another customer was in that industry or had a similar problem, had already used the product to address that. And they were able to then connect those two people and either verify the product would actually do what it said or be able to resolve the problem. And this led to, they now credit this with really driving success for their organization. And they have 2.2 million community members for what, to be truthfully told, is a relatively boring piece of enterprise software.
Well, I'm sure the people at SAP may not feel that way. My guest is Dion Hinchcliffe, author of the book Social Business by Design. So, Dion, break it down for us then. Kind of give us an idea of what the highly functional social workplace is going to look like or does look like.
Well, what we really say is to really boil it down and make it clearer without the jargon is to say that it's really about narrating your work. Working out loud is another way that it's sometimes stated, where as you do your work throughout the day, instead of emailing people, you kind of talk about what you're doing. You let others join in, other stakeholders who are probably interested in your outcome, and get them involved. And what we see is by using this much more community model for working throughout the day, that others can then find your work. They can reuse it later. They can join in and make sure that the outcome is what they need for their organization before you're done. It drives efficiency to the entire business process, whatever it is that you're doing, and it's a great tool to make sure that when that employee leaves, all their work is literally, on the company wall. Anyone can go there and refer to it, help themselves with, learn from it. It's a great new hire and onboarding tool. So we see social really as a kind of a new way of getting work done.
Well, that's very interesting. I like the idea of memorializing the work that you do, but I'm a little bit scared, Dion, about the fact that if I'm tweeting out what I'm doing at any given time, that I don't want that to become part of the public record, especially if I'm loafing or taking it easy for a moment.
Well, I mean, I think we have to realize that there has always been the water cooler at work. And certainly we're not saying that that companies should do all of their work out on Twitter. We typically see that companies build their own social networks inside the company. And there's many great free tools. I'm not advocating any products, but companies like Yammer and Socialcast offer free microblogging tools, which is what Twitter is, for use entirely inside the workplace, and they're very popular. Hundreds of thousands of small companies have helped themselves to do that, do exactly what I'm talking about.
All right, Dan. Well, help me to break it down before we get into some more specifics. Differentiate between the three different types of social business activity that you have in the book. You call them ad hoc, process-oriented, and content-oriented. What do you mean by each of those, and in what ways are they different?
So we see most of the time in workplaces where knowledge work is the primary activity, that it's very content-centric. You're in email all day. You're editing your Microsoft Word documents. You're in your Excel spreadsheet. But the challenge we've always seen is that most of those are not solitary activities, yet only one person at a time can actually go and work on those things. And we see that in content-oriented social media, so Google Docs is a great example that many people might be familiar with, that you can come in and work on your content, on what you're trying to produce for your job, with other people at the same time, discuss it, and instead of doing revisions back and forth, just like we talked about, moving from paper mail to the telephone, we're really moving from solitary knowledge work to social knowledge work, where we can gather around the content and create it and greatly reduce those cycle times, do the reviews in place, edit everything live, and so it can drive significant productivity. So that's one of the major ways that social media can be used other than narrating your work, which is kind of documenting everything that you're doing so that you can get the most value out of it.
Okay, that's content. Excuse me.
Yeah, it's content, and ad hoc is the other one that we talked about, kind of the narrating your work, just talking about what you learned, what you're doing, joining in other conversations and other work processes that are important to you, but not without so much. That's not very planned. That's what ad hoc is. And then process oriented is relatively new because social media was something really invented for the consumer world to make it easier to communicate with a lot more people in a more open way. We see that. Social media is very effective at work when you connect it to business processes, and that's an emerging field, and that's the smallest aspect of it in the new assessment as well.
All right. My guest is Dion Hinchcliffe. He's author of the book, co-author of the book, Social Business by Design, Transformative Social Media Strategies for the Connected Company. So break it down for us, if you will, Dion. If I'm a manager of a company, and I'm not the most technically gifted person in the world, and I want to become more of a social business, first of all, what steps do I need to take, and how do I overcome my obvious fear that dissolving the barriers between the business and my customers is going to bring this onslaught of information towards me?
Right. So we recommend a few simple things. I mean, getting started isn't that hard. You need to have some social tools, so find ones that work for your business. Don't expect that the first thing that you'll come across will do the trick. You got to find something that fits for you. Then you have to think about how you're going to change the way that you work. What part of the organization are you going to focus on? Is it, you want to connect to your customers and have them follow you so you can provide them better information? Do you want to drive better workforce productivity so that you get more out of your workers and they leave more behind? And then focus on those areas. And we see that while tooling tends to get a lot of the attention, you do need software that is more social. It's really changing your thinking, changing the way that you work, and looking for opportunities to say, how can I do this in a more community, more open, more shared fashion so we get more input and we create more variety, more rich output as a result of that. That's really the goal. But there is a challenge in scale. Engaging in scale is challenging because customers greatly outnumber the employees in the workplace. Unfortunately, we do see both techniques and tools that allow you to tackle that problem.
Well, and that's very interesting. I like the fact that in your book you give us 10 tenets that we can sort of build our social business around. And I'm going to read all 10 of them, but I want to talk about some in particular. The 10 are anyone can participate, create shared value by default. While participation is self-organizing, the focus should be on business outcomes. Enlist a large enough community to achieve your desired result. Engage the right community for the business purpose. Participation can take any direction. Be prepared for it and take advantage of it. Eliminate all potential barriers to participation. Ease of use is essential. Listen and engage continuously. The tone and language of social business is the most effective when they're casual and human. And 10, the most effective business activities are deeply integrated into the workflow. that's a nice little blueprint for somebody who wants to do that. But diving into it, I want to jump on to the very first thing, and that is when you talk about focus on the business outcomes. If this whole thing is self-organizing, how can you be expected that the crowd is going to focus on business outcomes, particularly the outcomes that you, the owner of the business, want to achieve?
So keep in mind, one, that the business is one a member of the community, and we definitely say that employee advocates should be involved in their social business processes so that the company's point of view is represented. But this is really where the function of curation comes in. Communities produce far richer and more vibrant and more variety in results than the old single solitary business processes that we had before. What you're looking for is outcomes that you didn't expect, but that you find are highly valuable to your business. So this is the curation process. So, right now it's very popular in marketing circles to let your customers create the message about why they love your product, and then let your other customers pick the message, right? So this is the Doritos Crash the Super Bowl model, where they had 50,000 other customers all produce videos. And then the customers chose the top 10, and the number one was actually played during the Super Bowl, providing the most direct reflection of that brand, but creating, hundreds of hours of video at very little cost, and then picking the best ones. So your customers will actually almost do all the work, even some of the curation, so it's pretty fascinating.
It is fascinating. My guest has been Dion Hinchcliffe, co-author of the book Social Business by Design, Transformative Social Media Strategies for the Connected Company. Dion, you've probably piqued the interest of some of the listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Two places. One, socialbusinessbydesign.com. That's our official book site. We actually help organizations do this, and we're at dachisgroup.com.
Dachis, that's D-A-C-H-I-S group.com. Dion, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.